For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's time to bring in Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. BA, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing great. I hope you are. Really excited about this weekend and kind of enjoying the build-up this week.
Yeah, we are very excited. Also, obviously, very excited about that big win over Tech on Saturday as well. And, man, has the difference in talent between these two teams been any greater than it is right now?
Yeah, no, I don't think it ever has. And I think that, you know, for a lot of people who don't watch Georgia very closely every single Saturday, and I mean like local Atlanta media and Tech fans, I think they assumed that because Tech had won some games as of late and, you know, maybe Georgia might be looking past Tech, that there was this thought that Tech could kind of sneak in here. And you mentioned the talent part of this. I mean, from a talent perspective, it's getting very difficult for teams like Florida and Auburn to keep up with Georgia. I mean, much less Georgia Tech. You know, the disparity is just so great right now. And when Kirby Smart is focused in on stopping the triple option, I believe for him that's a personal mission. But when he's as focused in on that, you know, there's just really nothing Tech can do because Tech has Georgia's attention for that particular Saturday, and Georgia's got this overwhelming talent advantage. Not only do I not think that Tech's going to be in position to win this game anytime in the near future, you know, we've seen blowouts the last 2 years. I believe that blowouts are going to become just basically the expected outcome for this game in the near future because of just how great the disparity is.
Talking with Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily.
You know, it's pretty funny when you take a look at this matchup and you just see the amount of, you know, five-star talent on the field, you almost take it for granted. But, you know, how truly special, you know, is a matchup like this when you just have so many players that could be stars at the next level and are stars now?
Well, and, yeah, you're exactly right about that. And I want to make, you know, sure we give credit where credit's due here because we have seen the Georgia roster, you know, just shoot up the stratosphere over the course of Kirby Smart's, you know, three classes. Number six class in 2016, number three class in 2017, a class that, you know, could have been number one in some years. It happened to be, you know, good enough for number three in 2017. And then Georgia did have the number one class in 2018. Well, with that work that Kirby's done over the last 3 years, from a just overall kind of composite level, the Alabama roster is still more talented. There's a guy named Bud Elliott who does some work for SB Nation every single year where he kind of looks at the ratio of four- and five-star players in a roster compared to guys who were lesser recruits. Alabama, as you probably could guess, is number one in the country in that regard at about 77%. I may be slightly wrong, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 77%. Georgia, I believe, is like third behind only Ohio State and Alabama at like 69%. So as much work as Georgia has done to get where it is from a talent standpoint, it's still slightly behind Alabama. Now, does that slight difference matter in the final score on Saturday? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I guess that's why we're going to play the game. But this is one of the rare teams in the country that from a, you know, metric of the recruiting rankings actually still has a little more talent than Georgia does.
Talking with Brandon Adams as the Dogs get set to take on Alabama coming up Saturday afternoon. You know, it's kind of weird. The Dogs are the defending champions in the SEC, and I know every season is different, but, you know, how do you, you know, what do you, what's your take on, you know, the folks that you talk to from Bulldog Nation about the approach of this game? I think a lot of folks are like, hey, we, you know, Alabama is expected to win. They're a two-touchdown favorite, but they seem more vulnerable than they did a month ago, 6 weeks ago. Do you get that same impression from the folks that you talk to?
Yeah, I do, and I actually like the kind of twin mindset, twin pillars of thought that Georgia seems to have going this game. On the one hand, you know, there was a teleconference the other day with a few Georgia players. They all started the same way by saying they were looking forward to defending their title, which is an interesting thing to say going into a game against Alabama. But as you point out, in this game, it's Georgia who's the defending champion. Alabama was not qualified to play in this game a year ago. It's Georgia who's the reigning SEC champion, and this is the SEC championship game. So Georgia is the one that's in a position to defend its title come this particular Saturday. And yet there's also that weird intrigue of Georgia being a two-touchdown underdog. And, you know, some Georgia players seemingly are embracing that more than others. Jake Fromm said this week that, you know, he didn't pay attention to that and, you know, wasn't motivated by the idea of being an underdog. But Jonathan Ledbetter, I think, clearly is. I think some other Georgia players have taken Ledbetter's tone on that, that you're going to tell us we don't have a chance after what, you know, we've done over the last couple of years, including the last week. I mean, if you look at the playoff rankings last night, you know, Georgia's, you know, got a neutral site winning against the number 9 team, Florida, a road winning against the number 15 team, Kentucky. And you want to tell that team it has no chance? I don't care if it's undefeated Alabama or not. I think there are going to be a lot of Georgia players who justifiably take some motivation from that. And if you're a Georgia fan, I think you probably feel good about, you know, Georgia giving, being given that extra edge of having, at least in some pockets of the world, nobody believing in them.
Brandon, we've seen the jokes on Twitter where people are just kind of like, Georgia and Alabama, you know, should boycott the whole process here for this game. And it's just kind of funny because right now they'd both be in the playoff if the committee made those selections tomorrow. So you look at some, you know, a team like Notre Dame that doesn't play one, or a team like Clemson that has a much easier path there with Pitt, or Ohio State with Northwestern. And, you know, if all of – let's just say, in theory here, if Alabama were to win, and, or if Georgia were to win and Ohio State were to win and Oklahoma were to win, you know, it just would seem funny to me for Alabama to make it, even, you know, though they'd only have one loss, but, you know, they wouldn't have that conference title. And the committee has said before that they should weigh conference titles and take those into account.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I was been harping on all week long is, if the opportunity exists for Alabama to make the college football playoff as a non-SEC champion, then the same opportunity theoretically ought to be available for Georgia as well, because there is something unseemly about Alabama using that springboard into the playoff for, you know, two consecutive years. It completely devalues the SEC championship game there at that point. Well, maybe what I had called for earlier, maybe there is a chance that can actually still be in play. I thought the committee rankings last night were actually pretty interesting, because I had kind of assumed that because Ohio State beat Michigan, I knew Ohio State would climb the rankings. I thought it actually might climb to number 5 in the rankings and actually leapfrog Oklahoma, because Oklahoma beat West Virginia. Ohio State beat Michigan. Michigan had been ranked in the top 4 the week before. I just thought the committee might give a lot of respect to the win that that Ohio State got. But it put Ohio State at 6. So follow me on this really quick and see if you think my thought process is the same as yours. So if it's a comparison between Ohio State and Oklahoma, how is Ohio State now going to jump Oklahoma when it plays Northwestern and Oklahoma's got Texas? That's just a better opponent in a Texas, not the greatest team in the world, but it's a much more prestigious win than what Northwestern would be. You can make a case it's going to be very hard under anything other than unusual circumstances for Ohio State to make the playoff. So now let's say Georgia loses closely to Alabama on Saturday. Now you're looking at a comparison between Georgia, whose only losses, assuming it does happen on Saturday, and assuming it happened in the fashion that I mentioned, maybe a close loss to number 1 Alabama and on the road at LSU. This is an Oklahoma team that will have, you know, lost to Texas, but also given up a million points over the course of November. That's not a defense that some people want in the college football playoff, and overall resume is probably not as strong. So maybe there is still a chance that Georgia, now I don't think any dog fan wants to make the playoff this way. They prefer to do it as an SEC champion. But if Georgia can have a good showing for itself on Saturday, it seems like there's some movement among people around the country to say maybe Georgia, even with 2 losses, would remain one of the 4 best teams in the country.
All right, BA, you triggered me here, because I keep hearing people say that Oklahoma's defense isn't good enough to be in the playoff. They're winning games. Their offense can score enough points to, you know, negate the fact that their defense isn't very good. So as long as they're winning games, why does it matter?
Well, I mean, you know, this is also a little bit of a hot-button issue for me. I just think the Big 12 is a pillow fight league. I just do. I just think that, you know, that is a league that just values offense a lot more than it values defense. And listen, we all saw up close and personal a year ago that Oklahoma's a pretty good team. And offensively, they can score with anybody. In fact, Kyler Murray may be, you know, playing better than Tua Tagovailoa at the moment. So I'm not telling you that Oklahoma's not a dangerous opponent, but ultimately I think in a playoff situation, what happened in the Rose Bowl a year ago would also happen against some team like Georgia or Alabama in a playoff this year, where Oklahoma will score and score and score, and eventually it's just not going to be able to get enough stops to win that game. So it's one thing to win a shootout at West Virginia, which is, you know, one of the 15 best teams in the country, but when you're trying to do the same thing against one of the four best teams in the country, I just think you run out of bullets before the game is over.
Well, it does actually make it fun debate. There is certainly no doubt about that. And, you know, to me, I'm not complaining about this, just the way things fall, where, you know, what you were saying a moment ago about Georgia, it's like, okay, well, we get these conference championship games and the premium's going to be put on, well, Ohio State, you know, and they're getting to play the, let's see, what is Northwestern, number 21 team, and Oklahoma is getting to play the number 14 team, even though that is a revenge game for the Sooners, and the Dogs are having to play the number one team.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to also make a point there, too, about Northwestern. You know, Northwestern may be ranked by the committee at number 21, but if you look at, like, Bill Connelly, who you know, crunches his numbers at footballstudyhall.com on the more analytics side of things, he's got Northwestern, I believe, last week at 78.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, the idea that you're going to put like a 6-6 team or whatever Northwestern is at number 21 is total window dressing when, you know, the more accurate assessment of Northwestern status is probably somewhere near the top 80, more so than the top 25.
Yeah, exactly. But, and that's what's going to hurt either Georgia or Alabama, is that these other conference champions are playing much lesser teams. But, again,
exactly,
it's not anything you can do about that right now. You know, obviously, one team's going to win this game on Saturday, and they're going to be in great shape. But the team that doesn't win, they're going to be like, man, we just lost to one of the top four teams in the country, and we're going to get penalized more so than, like, Ohio State playing the number 78 team in the country, or Oklahoma and Texas. So, I mean, it's just – I guess it's what it is. I'm not going to get all caught up in that.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. And if we were doing this conversation in the summer, maybe we did do this. I just don't remember it. You know, at the time, it would have looked like Georgia on paper was playing a pretty easy schedule. But as it turns out now, here at the end of the season, based on, I think, virtually every strength of schedule metric, Georgia's got the strongest strength of schedule of any of the major playoff contenders. And after it plays Alabama, it's going to be even stronger. So, I mean, You know what has on paper at the beginning of the season appeared to be an advantage for Georgia has actually turned out to be a really difficult schedule, and one of the reasons why I would think that that Georgia ought to get some special consideration from the committee. Now, whether that happens or not, you know, we've seen that group do some weird stuff before, but certainly I think it's something worth paying attention to.
I think this is one thing too that's kind of, and I'll say this: I enjoy the playoff. I like the more teams maybe having a chance to win it, and I don't necessarily think that the best team winning all the time makes sports great. I mean, that's one of the things we see in the NCAA tournament all the time. But I will say that I think there has to be a cutoff at some point, because, like, if Georgia fans or any fans, like, if you're a two-loss team and you're like, yeah, we're a two-loss team, but we had a harder schedule and we're better than them, it's like, at what point do people stop bellyaching about being left out?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you know, listen, you know, there's always going to be a temptation to want to argue, you know, whatever benefits you in the moment here. I mean, I think the thing that a Georgia fan probably ought to be thinking right now is Georgia versus Clemson, Georgia versus Ohio State, Georgia versus Notre Dame, Georgia versus Oklahoma. You know, Georgia, according to Vegas, be a point spread favorite in all those games, minus, I guess, Clemson, who I think Vegas would favor over Georgia. But I think that Georgia would be in a good shape to potentially even beat Clemson. It's just a matter of, can Georgia beat Alabama? You know, I think that Georgia fans probably justifiably should feel confident they could beat anybody on the national stage, you know, with maybe the exception of Alabama. And then we'll find out on Saturday how Georgia actually matches up with the Crimson Tide. But I think that's part of the issue here for Georgia is that they ought to be chomping at the bit for a chance to play Notre Dame. Georgia won in South Bend a year ago. I mean, you know, I don't think Ohio State, Clemson would be all that different in that regard either. Georgia beat Oklahoma a year ago. So this is one of those issues in which, you know, if Georgia was playing any other major playoff contender this weekend, I think Dogs fans' confidence would be, you know, pretty high. You know, it's the ability to beat Alabama that we're going to learn about at 4 p.m. on Saturday.
Well, it feels like you'd have to beat them anyway at some point, so might as well get it out of the way now.
That's right. That's right.
B.A., I know it's 20 well, actually, the signing period's 3 weeks from today. I know the latest commitment was for the class of 2020. I love the four commitments in that class. Defensive tackle, offensive lineman, defensive tackle. I love where this is going. Tell us a little bit about Warren Brinson out of Savannah and IMG Academy.
Yeah, I think that Warren Brinson's probably one of those guys that has risen the ranks pretty quick. You know, he's at IMG Academy now. That's the premier program, you know, arguably among the premier programs in the country. It's the same school that, for instance, Noah Kane, the four-star running back who just visited Georgia, attends. Nolan Smith, the five-star commit from the 2019 class. He's also an IMG guy as well. A lot of the names that you hear kicked around Georgia in recruiting circles, they're IMG Academy guys. So in addition to getting a pretty good defensive lineman here, and you're right, Georgia's certainly concentrating on those lines of scrimmage so far with its 2020 class, you're also getting, you know, kind of another inroad to IMG Academy. And I think that's a really important thing, because that's obviously a place that that Georgia wants to be in and be a part of, just like every other program does. But when you've got a relationship like this with another 2020 kid, I do think it kind of keeps the when your number shows up in the caller ID, the IMG guys are a lot more willing to answer it, just given the fact that Georgia's established these relationships here. So it's kind of a double value with Brinson. He's a good player, but it's also a good relationship with a really good program.
And with your intel and Centel's intel, what do you think right now is going on with Jaden Hazelwood?
So, you know, obviously Jeff has done some really good reporting on this as of late. I had a chance to talk to Hazelwood, and this is one of those things where I'm going to do something that Jeff's not going to be willing to do. I'm going to try to read between the lines. So Jeff's going to be objective and just report what Hazelwood says, but I'm going to read between the lines here. Even though Hazelwood says that right now he's kind of unaware of what his top five actually is, I do feel like that Georgia is potentially going to be in good shape with Hazelwood. That's just my opinion. That's not based on any kind of reporting or anything. I want to be clear on that. And part of the reason why I feel that is because the other schools that Hazelwood would potentially be considering, we've heard about Auburn, we've heard about Florida State, we've heard about Miami. You know, Hazelwood himself is going to mention Tennessee as of late. Well, you can point to severe problems that all those programs have in one way or another. So it's almost like by a process of elimination, it just seems destined for him to land back at Georgia. And I know that sometimes fans get kind of turned off by what seem like overly dramatic recruitments, but I do believe that Hazelwood is a difference-making player. So if he does indeed announce Georgia in early January when he makes his decision public, I think that's going to be really, really good news for Dog Nation.
Are the 18 guys that we still have right now for 2019, or, you know, for 3 weeks from now, are those all solid, or there might be one or two of those that might be, and I'm using air quotes here, decommits?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I do think there is some potential movement here in terms of, you know, maybe guys that feel like they're getting more love from other programs right now. You know, I'll give you for instance on that. You know, Tresman Marshall was at Tennessee with some other Georgia commits for the Missouri game. Now, Tennessee got blown out that day, so maybe that wasn't a great sell job. But Marshall is an example of a really good linebacker who maybe was feeling some extra love from other programs in comparison to what he's getting from Georgia. Maybe Georgia's now kind of turning the heat back up on him again. That'll be kind of interesting to see. Georgia's also chasing another linebacker right now with the five-star N'Kobe Dean, who's, I guess, recently, I think he's got an official visit coming up to Ole Miss this weekend. He's kind of all over the place, and that's a tough, really challenging recruitment for Georgia. So, David, I think your question kind of hits the bullseye of what we're going to be thinking about, which is, are there guys from the current commit list who don't end up in the class, and are there some of these uncommitted names who kind of pop in? I mean, I do expect once this SEC championship game is over and Georgia's on the road that week, because remember, a lot of SEC teams are on the road this week, Georgia's not. But once Georgia's back on the road, there is going to be a lot of drama, because there are a few names out there, maybe even of the very high four- and five-star variety, who we really haven't heard publicly connected to Georgia all that much, who, you know, all of a sudden may pop up on the visitor list or may show up in terms of some Georgia interest. I mean, I do think it's going to be a really, really, you know, wild conclusion to this 2019 recruiting cycle as Georgia gets busy with all that next week.
B.A., always great talking to you. And the Dogs certainly have their work cut out for them. But you know what? Bama does too. So it should be
That's
an interesting
exactly
game
right.
on Saturday. Always look forward to hearing you every Monday through Friday from noon until 1. Dog Nation Daily, and I guess who will you have on? Let's see, Wednesdays you'll have
Mike Griffith is on today, and also our buddy John Stinchcomb, the former Georgia great offensive lineman who was a part of the first Georgia win in the SEC championship game. He'll tell those stories, and he'll give us his thoughts on how this Georgia offensive line blocks this Alabama front seven today. So it's going to be fun to have both Mike Griffith and John Stinch come on the program today.
And Mike, he never really says anything controversial, so I don't know. I don't know what the deal is there with Mike. He stirs the pot, man. It's funny stuff.
No doubt about that.
And John Stinchcomb is one of my favorites, one of the all-time greats. So looking forward to hearing that today. Thanks, Brandon.
All right, talk to y'all soon.
All right, Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, noon to one, Monday through Friday, right here on The Ref.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.